We're kind of going long here, and I want to leave some time. Holistic thinking, I think that's self-explanatory, but there's a lot in that precautionary approach. This is how I applied them. Twin Sisters Native Plant Nursery, the Soto, West Moberly, they've partnered with a private sector person, which is ridiculous. Ridiculous because it should have been the government that supported this years ago when this idea was first floated by my mom. They're trying to get rid of the adversarial approach by using native plants to reclaim the gas patch. And that's not just an economic generator. That's not just a way to fix the land, although it is both of those things. It is an expression of the law that to fix something that's broken, you have to bring life to it. You have to give it something beautiful. You have to give it something to become full of that energy again. And so the dead space that is an old abandoned oil and gas well grows again by our own plants. And we plant things, we're hoping to plant things. This isn't fully running yet, but it's happening right now. They've been planted, they've been gathering seeds for 2 years. We're hoping that we will cure and bring life back to these gross, toxic pits all over our territory. Now, that's bringing life back to the land, but I hope you understand it's also bringing life back to the relationship we have with the oil and gas industry and the relationship we have with the regulator. Do you guys understand? That's a way to bring life back. That's a different kind of law manifesting. Now, what if that law was sanctioned and supported by the state? What if that idea that to fix something you need to bring life back into it? Like, for example, what if water, the greatest and most precious life-giving thing on earth, was used to bring life back into the sick relationships up in Northeast BC between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people or within Indigenous communities? Could that happen? Could it work? What would it look like? I don't know. You know, this is something I've been wrestling with for a while, but it's an idea. Medium term, this is something that we're moving. Oh, sorry. Caribou hunting. On my Dineza side, we stopped caribou hunting in the 70s. I've never hunted a caribou. I had to go like 3,000 kilometers north to find caribou to hunt because we don't hunt them anymore. I never have. So that's an example of our law using holistic thinking, adaptive management, recognizing the caribou in the decline and very actively changing our behavior in the face of it, using a precautionary approach and sanctioning through various means and showing our respect through actions when it comes to an issue. They're still dying. Coal mines are a big issue because coal is often up on the mountain ranges where the caribou like to go in the winter. They're susceptible to wolves in the low country, so they have to see them coming, and that's what the lichen is. and then pure herbivory, another point. We're trying, my people burn, we always have, lots of Indigenous people do. It's a great way to maintain the landscape. So what we're trying to do with Fort Nelson is get a program where we retake burning authority and we reclaim the stewardship and the guardianship of our land through directed burns to create grasses to keep bison off of the roadways. Because aside from killing people and crashing cars, it kills really delicious meat. It's not very good after. It doesn't mean it's not edible, but... oh, no! The idea that, again, that we use the elements that we have and we use our old tradition not only to create something beautiful, but to try and manifest a new way of sovereignty on our land is a very beautiful idea. And again, I just wonder what would happen if we didn't have to fight tooth and nail to make that happen, if we didn't have to fight with MOT every time we wanted to burn. We've been burning for thousands of years. And granted, it's gotten away from us once or twice, no doubt. But, like, please, give us a chance. You know, imagine what that would look like if people really reclaimed that tradition. You know, imagine what could happen up there, especially because the caribou are in the massive decline. We've been going pretty long. This is a really interesting idea, and I want to give this its due credit. The Whanganui River was granted legal personality last year. Huge development. And there's a lot of really interesting co-governance initiatives in New Zealand, in Aotearoa. This is a couple examples. This is from the work of Jacinta Ruru, a friend that's used with her permission. In Treaty 8, we're trying to achieve the same thing. It's a long and hard road, and it's a young idea. But the point here is that like, for example, and I was hoping to share some stories with you. I'm recording my grandfather as he slowly passes on, and he has stories about the animals. In our territory, the animals and the humans, the delineation between us isn't as thick as we think it is. There's a time when we used to be able to cross over very easily. And so that's a very clear expression of personality. I mean, animals were people. People were animals. So this like whole like human, non-human binary is just ridiculous in our tradition. So why not extend legal personality to animals, or at least in some qualified sense? And the rivers, I mean, literally the lifeblood of our people, the means by which we transfer, why not give them a degree of legal personality to recognize that they're dynamic entities that move and change and develop and adapt and die? And lakes. Lakes is a big one. I'll talk with the Dene Waterheart at the end. Lakes are beautiful and amazing things, and they have great potential, particularly for climate change. If you guys ever get a chance, look at, I forget his name right now, David Schindler. David Schindler's work on lakes as sentinels and integrators for climate change, where I'm hoping that in Northeast BC we're going to start using lakes to quantify airshed impacts of oil and gas development, because lakes, in the wintertime, they get the deposition from flare stacks and stuff like that. And then when the ice melts, it sinks to the bottom. So you might be able to actually, with appropriately sensitive instruments and sampling, get a decent sedimentary catalog of what's been happening in your territory. But that's pretty technical stuff, and I'm not an expert in that yet. But it's stuff I'm interested in. I was wondering if that ability of lakes that's unique to them to collect and store that information for us, if only we respect them enough, is sufficient basis to extend to them a degree of respect legally and give them a degree of legal personality or something equivalent. Like if you buy a lakefront title, you have a positive covenant to do or support X sampling activity, for example. And then I had this idea that what if, because of the treaty relationship, because the treaty adheres to everybody, indigenous and non, on our territory, what if the treaty relationship adhered to the gas that came out of our territory? What if you had to live in peace and friendship with the resources you took? What if, you know, the uranium and plutonium and all that stuff that was taken out of, I'm not sure what was taken actually, out of the Northwest Territories to make the bombs? What if there had to be a relationship with that thing, with those things, before it was taken? And, you know, and this is long-term stuff. This is very theoretical. Like, I don't even have the idea nearly full in my head yet, but I wonder, what about the treaty relationship, which is the basis for the assertion of sovereignty in my territory by the Crown, what if that law embedded in that adhered to the things that came out of that territory? What would that mean for CO2 production? You know, it's a question. I'll challenge you guys to, you know, think about that. What might that be for those of us in the legal profession? What? Banishment. Banishment is something that our people have always had. You know, what they call witigo, you know, in Cree traditions, those who consume, eaters of flesh. Consumption and overconsumption can take many forms, and I'm not pointing to anything in particular. But what if we could banish legal personalities? We used to be able to banish people. What if we could banish, and I know there's so many issues, but it's just an idea. It's a law that we have. We used to banish those who were inappropriate for our territory for many reasons. What if you could do the same thing with those who violate our trust, who violate our land, who violate the thing that all of us share, violate the treaty? What would that look like? These are just some of the operators in our territory. I'll try and wrap it up here because we're going pretty late. I'm going to share with you a story. And despite the fact that I'm half Dene, this I picked up from the Dene north of me. You know, again, we're southern Dene. The Dene Waterheart.